Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
You know that moment when you open a new tube of toothpaste and you think to yourself, this time is going to be different. You know, when we look down at that pristine paragon of potential, that gift to our gums, and we resolve within ourselves somewhere deep that we are going to make a change in our lives. We say, we make that commitment, we make that promise to ourselves. We say, with God as my witness, I will only squeeze this tube from the bottom. That I will screw the cap back on when I'm done or click it shut. That I won't just set it back down on the sink when I have satisfied my dental desires like some Neanderthal. But we'll put it back where it belongs. And in the moment, we mean it. In that moment, we are committed to the success of that promise. We want it to happen. And for the first couple of brushes, it does. Our dentist would be so proud. But then, inevitably, we get busy or are rushing or just want to go to bed, and we begin to compromise just a little bit at first, almost imperceptible. We tell ourselves, I don't need to screw the lid back on. I'm just going to have to take it off again. I can squeeze from the middle this one time. There's plenty of opportunity to make up for it in future brushes. Ah, what good would it do to have to put it all the way away? Let me just set it on the sink so that I'm not going to be late to church. Until inevitably, that new tube of toothpaste ends up in the same place every previous tube of toothpaste has landed, in that pathetic pantheon of pitifulness that is a shadow, a mockery of its former self, goo covered with plenty of toothpaste in theory still inside, but which even our best squeeze can't get at. Completely inaccessible. Without heroic efforts that could have been avoided, had we just kept the promise we made at the opening. But that's the thing in life, friends, isn't it? Sometimes the promises we make to ourselves are the hardest to keep. And while sometimes those promises are relatively inconsequential, affecting very little except perhaps our dental hygiene, sometimes, as we know, they're not. Now, some of those promises we make to ourselves, we make because we know that something in our lives really does need to change. Because we know that somewhere deep down, we can't keep going the way that we're going, that we know that if we keep doing that, we are not going to fully be who God is calling us to be. Maybe there are some out there this morning who are feeling that call, who recognize that something in their lives might need to change. You're not alone. Most of us have something in our lives that we wish were a little different, don't we? Big or small. Most of us have something upon close examination that we know we should probably do something about, and many of us even have it in our power to do it, but for whatever reason, we don't. Maybe this is our opportunity. Maybe this day is another opening for change. It is that time of year, isn't it? When we get a little cover, there's a little peer pressure to make some changes. Yes, we know we could make changes in theory any time of year, but for some reason, at the opening of the year, all of us pause for just a moment and take a look at our lives as it is, our life as it is, and think about what it could be and try and bridge that gap. We make a commitment, a resolution, a promise to ourselves. Only sometimes in life, the hardest promises to keep are the ones we make to ourselves. We start off pretty well, just like that new tube of toothpaste. We know we are going to go at it. We're going to do our very best to get to where we need to go. But then we get busy. And old habits start creeping back in, and that gravitational pull of the status quo proves too much to overcome. And pretty soon we find ourselves right back where we started. And unfortunately, it doesn't take too many times trying and failing before we just stop trying altogether. But maybe, friends, there's another way. See, maybe the reason why we have such a hard time trying to keep the promises we make to ourselves is because we keep them to ourselves. Maybe it's because we make those promises alone. In other words, maybe there's a way to make an individual promise together. That is kind of what today is all about, isn't it? That's what it means to remember our baptism in some way. This is the first Sunday after Epiphany, what we typically call the Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. It is the end of that two-week pilgrimage we take every year between the birth and the baptism of Jesus. It seems like only last week he was a baby. We head off from this moment each year into someplace else, wherever that journey from nativity to cross might take us. But before we go, the last stop that we take every single year, the last stop we make every single year is at the Jordan River, where we witness the baptism of Jesus. Today we hear Luke's version, which seems important, because it's only in Luke's version where Jesus is baptized with all the people. In fact, Luke doesn't really spend any time on the baptism itself. Instead, he spends a ton of time on the lead up to it. He talks about the crowds of people who are going to John the Baptist in order to make a change in their lives. They are seeking out repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance, of course, means to turn in another direction. It means to change. The people were coming looking for a change, and John, never one at subtlety, said, "Yep, you need a change." He calls them, "You brood of vipers." To which the people respond, having seen their own challenges, "What then should we do?" Such a simple question. What then should we do? It is a quintessential Christian question. What then should we do, given the state of our lives, given the state of the world? What then should we do? Maybe some of us have been asking that question this week. It's been a strange one after all, hasn't it? It's been one of those weeks filled with really peculiar remembrances, reminiscences. We, on the one hand, have been looking back to March of 2020, and on the other, looking to January of 2021. And we keep asking ourselves, are we going back into a lockdown? As my kids said, as they were watching all of these schools begin to close, this feels like 2022. We're experiencing it again, and some of us have felt that collective sense of deja vu, that worry that says, "No, Lord, please, not again." What then should we do? On the other hand, we have been watching the news reports. They're hard to avoid this week as we recall the one-year anniversary of the insurrection, that moment when we all turned our eyes to the hill, wondering from whence our help would come, watching those sinful sycophants storm the Capitol, looking to hang the sitting vice president and to execute the Speaker of the House, leaving 5 people dead. And it's hard to remember given all that's happened in the last year, but in the moment there was rightly bipartisan outrage at the moment. But in the end, of course, it turned out that that gravitational pull of the status quo just proved to be too much, and our so-called leader's resolution proved to have little resolve. Sometimes the promises we make to ourselves are the hardest to keep. What then should we do? As a people of faith, as a people who are looking around our world and knowing something needs to change, what then should we do? In Luke, John the Baptist tells the people the truth, and it's fairly simple. He basically says, whatever you can. It's fairly simple. He says, if you have 2 coats, give one to someone who doesn't have any. If you have food, give it to someone who doesn't. If you're a tax collector, don't take more than you're supposed to. If you're a soldier, don't extort people on the basis of false accusations. In other words, do whatever you can to do the right thing. We're called to do more good in this world. What do you think John the Baptist would say to us today? What do you think Jesus would say to us today? Just keep listening to the news that already agrees with you. Seems to be working out. Just keep doing the things that you are doing because everything seems to be peachy keen in the world. We're called to do more good, and it's easy. We say that so often around here. It's easy to forget why we do, to assume that it's enough to just not do harm. And while not doing harm is a good start, or maybe the start of good, it is not quite enough. That is, not always. We're not a people who are called to passive observation. We are called to benevolent action. What the late John Lewis called good trouble. We're called to find ways of acting in this world that are going to make an actual difference. That is what we commit to in our baptism. To address those spiritual forces of wickedness wherever we might find them. To stand up to injustice and oppression wherever it happens to be. That's why we remember our baptism over and over again. Here's the thing. Nothing magical happens in baptism. Nothing magical happens when that water touches us, but something miraculous does. That is, a group of individuals make a promise together. We make a promise to walk alongside one another in faith, to be there should we stumble or should we fall, to keep lifting each other up and pointing each other in the right direction. Whenever we see that something starts to go astray, to keep saying to each other, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way. In some ways, the discipleship project, the class meetings that we're trying to start as a church, that is what these are all about. Class meeting, of course, is one of those traditional Methodist names for a small group, but there's no book that you're reading. The text is your life. And you're asking yourself, how do I live more faithfully as a disciple of Jesus Christ in this world? Or as the crowd in Luke said, what then should we do? And the only way to really answer it is together. In Luke's gospel, we don't hear or we don't see the actual baptism of Jesus. It just said, and when the people were baptized and Jesus with them, he goes to pray. In all the other gospels, Jesus comes out of the water and that's when the heavens are opened. But in this, he's standing with the people. He's with the crowd. The baptism has already happened and he's praying, and that is when the heaven is open. Maybe it could open for us as well. Maybe it's today, a day is a day to call out for another opening, to stand with one another and look to the heaven and listen for that promise that God made to Jesus. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Maybe everyone in the crowd heard that day. The question is, have we? Have you? You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. That, of course, is the promise of grace. And notice it comes at the opening, not at the end. It is not something that we earn. The grace of God is not something that is dependent upon our success or failure. It is ours whether the toothpaste looks great at the end or not. It is with us. We can't do anything to earn it, and we can't do anything to take it away. Which, don't you see, frees us to try. If we know that it's okay to fail, it is okay to try as well. Because we know we won't be alone in it. So maybe this year, friends, the question is not what promises do we need to make, but rather which ones do we finally want to keep? And then try to do those together. That is why we remember our baptism, because God keeps God's promise, which means that even if we try and fail, which means that even if we gain 10 pounds instead of losing 5, which means that even if we don't keep a single promise we make, we don't have to wait until next year at this time to remember our baptism and to try again. Because every moment of every day is another opening. Remember your baptism and keep it holy. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.